What it is, man. How's it going?
It's good, man. It's good. Appreciate all the support everybody reached out with. Everything is good in my neck of the woods. Looking forward to this playoff series. We got the Mavericks. You know, you look at like this time in NBA history, there's very few players that you want to compare anybody to, like as good as Luka. But I felt for a little while Shea's a better player. And I think in this series, we're going to get to see them square off in a way that it's a little bit of a basketball wet dream.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I feel like Luka's going to end up guarding Shea a lot and Dort's going to guard Luka.
You think Luka's going to guard Shea?
For me, I'm looking at this and saying, I think he's going to try to take the assignment on. Does it make sense? Because I think here's the reality of it is that J-Dub is a much worse mismatch for Luka, bro. J-Dub will smash Luka. And they all know it. He's stronger. He's going to wear him out if he's playing him on offense. Shea doesn't like to go body up. He doesn't like to create that physical contact. So for me, I'm looking at it and saying, would you rather have Luka guard Josh Giddey? Would you have Luka guard? I guess you could put him on Dort, but Dort's just going to physical him up all the time. I mean, that's my point is like, where are you going to go? And then they've got the big men. So they might just try to go and spread this out in the big men category and try to beat us down like that. But then Josh Giddey has that mismatch. This is why when people said that they felt that Dallas could beat us in five, I laughed. Because if you look at the mismatch that we create, no matter what, Luka won't be able to guard one person the entire series. Lu Dort's going to be able to guard one person the entire series, right? You're going to see Lu Dort also go and guard Kyrie. You're going to see J-Dub have to step up and guard Luka, and you're going to see Shea have to guard Luka as well. Like, this is going to have to be a team effort, but when you're talking about defense, there's very few teams that we've seen in the recent history that can shut down a team inside and outside like the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, that's true. The perimeter defense is amazing, you know, and you have our two rookies in there and Case and Wallace to really solidifies the fact that we can have an all NBA level defensive presence on the court, or really two of them at any given time in the game. And then you throw in Chet, and now there's a legit chance we could have three all NBA defensive level players on the court at the very same time. I get why people are like unsure about this team because like they're not used to teams without accolades going on and winning things. But when you can look at the squad and say like,
yeah,
out of all the teams that are left, who is a better big man than Chet? I mean, Jokic. Okay, so you got the number one seed. I mean, the NBA champs, right? You got him, right? Okay, that's it. I can't think of anybody else. Okay, so you look at, you know, point guard.
Porzingis is having a good season, but I wouldn't call him better player.
He's out right now with a calf strain, so I wouldn't even say he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
And if you come in and you say, like, the primary option, right, who's better than Shea, okay? But who has a better second option? And I guess somebody might say, like, okay, Luka and Kyrie. And that, you know, question could be had. But I would say, like, Kyrie hitting some shots, you know, in this last series doesn't really atone for what we've seen happen in Dallas over the last several years. If it was sure. Luka and Jalen Brunson, I would say, well, I mean, they have a case right there. You know what I mean? But Luka and Kyrie, it's sure. Still too much your turn, my turn. They still haven't figured out how to both be at their best at the same time. And that's fine. That's one of the hardest things to ever figure out. But you go down, you say bench squad. Who's got the deepest bench of the teams left? You say who's got the best coaching? I think we win all of these categories. But the thing is, a lot of that is based on how I think people will perceive things after the season is completed.
Yeah.
At this moment, I understand why people would say that we're too young. But when the season's over, nobody's going to be talking about how young we are, except in the context of how many more championships we could win with a squad this young. It really has nothing to do with limiting us at this stage at all.
I want to go through some X factors of the series that are coming up. Obviously, Dallas is a incredibly talented offensive team. They've got some good defensive players. You know, Dallas went out in the trade deadline and did some really good trades to get some amazing lob threats for Luka and Kyrie. So they did some good stuff there. But for the X factor, as far as us, I got to go back to what happens when Dallas goes to small ball, because Dallas does play small ball. They're very effective in small ball. What happens when they play small ball? Well, I want to talk about the X factor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That guy is going to be Cason Wallace. When they go small ball, we're going to put Cason Wallace in the game, who's going to guard Kyrie Irving. All right. Now, listen, a lot of people don't understand how good Cason Wallace is at defense, but this is going to be his moment to shine. And we're talking about X factors. And when you're talking about a player that's coming in off the bench and is going to be requested and asked to guard maybe the greatest handles of all time as far as basketball player, or at least in the recent generation, Kyrie's handles are legendary, like beyond legendary. There's probably about five guys in the league that I would ever consider have the same type of leverage and the same type of handles that Kyrie has. So if you look at what Kyrie can do, and then you're looking at it and saying, hey, Cason, you're going to go out there and play. And by the way, I know that Kyrie was like a god to you when he was winning championships a few years back and you were like 12 years old, but we're going to make you play against Kyrie and you're going to shut him down. And what Cason's going to do is he's going to rise to the occasion, guys. He's going to step up and he's going to do something crazy and amazing, and everybody's going to be calling Cason's name. Because at that moment, at that very moment, it's going to be just as J-Dub came out and he came out and said, hey, guys, I'm here. And it was game like 20 last year, right? This year, it's Cason's moment. And Cason's going to come out and he's going to be showing everybody why he's one of the better defenders in the league and why the league isn't ready for what happens when Cason's playing his all-time best.
Yeah, dude, I love it. So Coach Kidd, he just got a contract extension with the Mavs because his name was being thrown around with some Lakers rumors, and the Mavs figured they better lock that shit up. Better put a ring on it. So they gave him his fancy-ass ring, and now he's tied up there. But, you know, getting out of the first round isn't what they want with a generational talent like Luka. Like, this team needs to be in conference finals and getting to the NBA championship if you're going to make the most out of a player like his career. So what does the big bucks get? The Dallas Mavericks, the Sheldon Adelson family, new ownership, and Mark Cuban combination. What do they get from Jason Kidd as far as the game plan now that they paid him all these big dollars, dude? I mean, do you think he's going to come out and out game plan Coach D? Do you think he's going to, I mean, he figured out a few things against in those Clippers series where it was like they had it going for him a bit. They were able to figure the series out. Talk to me, Dave. What do you expect from Coach Kidd?
Yeah, so again, I was talking about X factors on both sides. And really, if we want to talk about X factors for Dallas, I mean, obviously everybody knows Luka is stellar and probably one of three of the best players in the league right now. I know people are like, he's the best, but I'm not even putting him in the top three, past the top three. You guys can all argue about Joker, Shea, or Luka. But for Dallas's X factor, man, it has to be Coach Kidd, because how he reacts to Coach D's huge lineup as far as players that he plays in the first quarter. Usually Coach D plays 9-10 guys in the first quarter. So I'm bracing to see how Coach Kidd really reacts to it. I mean, I know everybody wants to start calling him Coach K, but he still has to earn that. And as far as everything else goes with Coach Kidd, is that there's some question marks of what's going to happen when he's truly bumped up against one of the true young great minds of the league, maybe the best youngest mind of the league as far as coaching staffs go. So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, if Coach Kidd can figure out how to maneuver our defense, how to maneuver our offense, and how to make us react instead of them reacting to us, then Coach, you know, Kidd is obviously that X factor that Dallas needs. But I have seen a lack in Coach Kidd's efficient game calling through the years, and that's not a diss on him by any stretch of the imagination. It's just the way it is. If you want to talk about ESPN announcers, you want to talk about smart brains all around the sports world with coaching staffs and everything else like that, they'll all say the same. If there's moments that Coach Kidd just like it feels like it slips, you know, just like you know, somebody that gets hits in the head too many times, you know? Whereas Coach D, whenever that stress gets hard, you know, he rises above, you know, it's like he understands that, like, hey guys, this is just a moment. They just went on a 20-0 run. It's okay. They just went on a 32-2 run. It's okay. You know? And then what happens? We still win the game. So my point is that, like, when you're faced with adversity and you have an insane amount of guys that believe in you, that's an X factor in any series. And that's why I sit there and I say, you know, for Dallas, you have to have Coach Kidd 110% there. If he's not, then this series is over in five games.
Games, guys, you heard it here first. Put it in your comments, guys. Tell us what you think. Thunder up in what? 5, 6? 4, 7?
Well, I wanna address this, right? So you got Thunder, right? I'm saying Thunder in 5, right? I want to say, let's go Minnesota, right? I'm saying Minnesota in 6.
Whoa.
I'm saying Knicks in 5. I'm doing this for all the betting people out there. Knicks are really good, guys.
Knicks in 5.
And Celtics are going to go ahead and just... Knicks in 5, man. I'm telling you, Knicks... nobody understands how good the Knicks are. I told you before the season, or before the playoffs started, that the Knicks are going to make it or be the only X factor to the Celtics, and I am still standing by that. Knicks are good. Knicks are really good. They've got a good coach. They've got good defense. They've got a guy that can drop 40 points in a playoff game. I mean, they got everything they need right over there. And the Cavs, I mean, to my opinion, the Cavs are just like a copy of the Knicks. So I just don't see it. So, then you have the last one, Celtics. I mean, Celtics, you know. Wait, is it the Celtics playing the Cavs? I don't know who Celtics, it is. But whoever Cavs, the Celtics are playing, it's over. It doesn't even matter.
You got it right. Celtics, Cavs, and it's Indy, New
Knicks,
York.
Knicks, Pacers.
Knicks, Pacers.
Yeah, Knicks, Pacers.
Like, I still can't help smile again, when
Celtics,
I think Knicks, Pacers.
I know, dude. All those years of us watching that, there's going to be a lot of buildup to that. I really hope Reggie Miller calls those games because I want to see that. I want to see him and Spike Lee on the sidelines making hand motions to each other. So, but no, this is a different aspect. And the reason I want to bring this up and what I want to talk to you guys about is the Celtics, right? Majority of their guys are under 26 years old that are the main players of their team. The Knicks, majority of their guys are under 27 on their team. You got Minnesota. The main guys of their players, really the best player of their team, is only 21 years old, and he's playing unbelievable. Ant is truly playing out of his mind right now. But everybody else, really, that's a good young team by all, even though that they're the most seasoned team left in the NBA outside of Denver right now. And then you've got us. We're super young. We're playing against a team that's seasoned. Like, Luka's been here before, but he's still younger than Shea. So anybody that wants to say, oh, well, you know, experience, experience, experience. But this is why when you're talking about one individual player and you're saying Shea versus Luka, right? If we're playing one versus one, would it matter? Would it matter? Maybe. But we're not doing that. You know, we've got 12 other guys, 11 other guys that we expect to play out there every single game. And because of that, and the way that we play and the way that we run and the way we play defense, we really make, like, if you look at Luka's minutes and Kyrie's minutes for the playoffs, man, they're averaging 40 and 42 minutes a game. You know, like, we're making them going to earn every single minute. If they're going to play 42 minutes against us, they're going to hurt every single minute. Like, I'm telling you, playing against Dort for 40 minutes is going to fuck with you. Completely fuck with you, because anytime Luka's out there, Dort's going to be out there, and Dort is going to be a huge factor in this. You're going to see some amazing defense from J-Dub as well on Luka, but the reality is that this is going to come down to the way and the style that we play defense, making it difficult for Luka to get to the lane, making it difficult for Luka to find those cross-court passes that he's so legendary on, and then on top of that, we have to slow down Kyrie. He can't get anywhere a step on us. And the guys that can do that, man, it's going to be fun to watch, because our defense is designed to stop teams like Dallas. And if you watch what we did and how we turned it off against the Pelicans, I mean, I'm telling you guys, it's going to be very, very similar to that. Because if the Pelicans, up until they lost like 3 games in a row, they were right there with Dallas. So,
yeah. So I'm thinking 5 is a good estimate. I mean, I think I guess on this for me would be six. I think if we can think about the emotional roller coaster that we could go through just on a 6-game series, not even accounting a 7-game series, like, dude, there are going to be so many moments where talking heads and professionals and people who know about this stuff are like, oh, the Thunder are done. Thunder are done. They're out of it. Like, well, you know, we could even get blown out in a game, you know, and that's how the playoffs work. A lot of people don't understand that, like, that there's so many ups and downs and it becomes an emotional roller coaster. And you'll go from the highest highs to the lowest lows in 24 to 48 hours. And you'll feel like for sure this is yours and you'll feel like it's slipping away and you won't know how to get it back. So I just think we should all keep buckling up. You know, that's what we say on this this podcast here. We say buckle up, bitches, because the ride is going to get bumpy. But you picked the right horse to bet on, right? You picked it because this team has what it takes, not because they've got some fancy ass dribbler out there who can do shit that makes everybody go, wow, dude, he's pretty cool. He should be on an N1 mixtape. But no, what we got, dude, we got legit ballers, okay? Kyrie, he's going to have to take the J-Dub treatment. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of people who understand what level of defender J-Dub is. But Dort is going to be on Luka. And then they're going to see these switches. You're going to see these opportunities where Shea's going to get both of those guys. Kaysen's going to get his opportunity. Aaron Wiggins is going to get a chance to step up. We're going to be throwing bodies at them. We're going to be changing game plans. This is going to be something for everybody to watch because Coach D wants us as much as anybody. And when you talk about coming up with a game plan to stop Luka and Kyrie and the rest of the Mavericks, this is going to be the blueprint. So enjoy it. It's going to be a show.
Dude, everything about this team is addicting. Every press conference, every interview, every play, every defensive set, every offensive set, everything about this team is addicting. And the more you get into it, the more you uncover, the more you want. But the most addicting thing about this team is the killer mentality that they show at the end of games. That to me is the most powerful thing. And if you look at it and if you understand what's happening with the Oklahoma City Thunder and you understand what's happening in the NBA right now, you start to realize that the killer mentality is the most addicting thing that Shea has. That is why people start whispering. Shea is going to be the next great. Everybody's saying it. If Shea is starting to be known as the face of the NBA, right? And I'm telling you guys, after this season, he's going to be starting to be like, well, LeBron's gone. What's going to happen next? Well, Shea, right?
KD, so, Steph, they're all gone.
I know. People will say Luka. People will say Joker. It doesn't matter. These guys, it's all past them now. They all had their chance to take the crown, and they didn't. Now it's Shea's turn. And Shea's going to take that crown. He's going to put it on because the one thing he's addicted to more than anything is that killer mentality. He puts away teams. He helps put away teams. He closes them out, and he's Mr. Clutch when it all comes said and done. So for me, if you look at everything and you line it perfectly, you start to say, this is the year to start getting excited. Because if we don't, then what are we going to do? Wait for next year and then say halfway through the year, well, we're this short, we're this short, we're this short. We need this player in order to be able to compete. No, we have to buy in every single year like this team does, like the coaches do, like the players do. No, we have to buy in. And this is the moment. This is the moment to say anybody that's like, we don't have what it takes to beat Dallas, well, they can go fuck off because the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're thunderous, they're exciting, and they're wet.
Dude, if you made it this far, you're a motherfucking dog.